that what this really signifies is as Jesus was in the tomb and rose to life, symbolically we are submerged in water and we are raised to life. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing that we can show and others publicly in our declaration, excuse me, of faith, that we are Christians, that we believe in Jesus and what God did in our lives. So we want to take a minute to do that. So I guess we'll just get right into it. Sweet. So I think our first baptism person, Noah, you want to come on up, buddy? Sweet, man. And family. Yeah, family, you want to join and get around? Yeah, let's clap for him. Let's turn so everybody can see you, okay? Sweet. That works. We'll do that. Welcome, family. Welcome, everybody. Noah, it's good to have you here today. You excited?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Perfect. So do you want to take your shoes off or do you want to? Okay, perfect. Awesome. Yeah, you can get yourself ready over here. Man, what a wonderful thing. And this is just such a great thing that so many have chosen to make Jesus their Lord today. And we are just celebrating that together as a faith. No worries. Perfect, man. Awesome. Okay, so Noah, you want to tell me a little bit about what Jesus did in your life?
He was always with me when my uncle passed away.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Anything else you want to add?
No, since I don't really know what
else. You just love Jesus? Hallelujah. Awesome. You ready to do this thing? Ready to give show of baptism? Man, I'm tongue twisted today. Hallelujah. All right, well, you can just get in right here. We'll stand, face the cross, okay? Yeah, you can face the cross over here. Sweet, buddy. And then we'll lay back right in the middle. Sweet. Pastor Sam, if you want to help me on this. All right. A little low here. Sweet. Well, Noah, you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and saved you from your sins?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I guess we'll just go to our next one. Hallelujah. Camilla, you want to come on up? And if there's any family joining her today, feel free to join as well. So wonderful, wonderful. Family and friends. Awesome. Sweet. You're okay. You're all good. All right, Camilla. How you feeling?
Very anxious.
That's all right. Okay, so very simply, tell me a little bit about what was life like kind of before Jesus was real in your life.
I knew about God, but to be honest, I just don't understand. And even still, I kind of struggle with how he just, like, loves me. Like, I've always felt that people are, like, people connect to me, but I have a hard time connecting with them back. So it's always just kind of been kind of hard to do that.
Right, yeah, and there's been many things you've been working on, yeah. So, and with that, tell us a little bit about what was kind of a turning point where Jesus became very real to you?
I'd say the real turning point would be probably camp. I think it was like freshman camp with Joni. We stepped outside from service for a moment, and I just kind of like confessed my like suicidal thoughts and just self-harming tendencies, and she just really just like poured love into me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Just as Jesus pours love in you. Come on, guys. Let's hallelujah. Give us. That's awesome. Now, Camilla, tell us a little bit about what has life been like since. How has that moment impacted your relationship with Jesus to this day?
It's been a long journey. And slowly but surely I've been kind of like just finding more of the right people, I guess, and being more in the right environment, and just like helping out a lot more, whereas previously I wouldn't have helped as much with the church as I do now. Yeah. But
Yeah, and you've been connecting with people easier, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful. And God's just done a lot in your life. It's been so awesome to see. Awesome. Hallelujah. Well, I guess you can just get in this tank here and face the cross. About go ahead and be in the middle there. Oh, careful. Here you go. Okay, sweet. So, Camilla, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and raised to life for you, and that your sins are forgiven? Hallelujah. Well, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Alrighty, man, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Man, we got a lot of baptisms. We're just getting started, guys. Hallelujah. Alrighty, guys. Katrina, you want to come and join us? Katrina and family. Hallelujah. I'm trying not to get the mic wet.
I was thinking about your phone.
Oh, I don't worry about that. Katrina, I am so, so happy that you're here today in this moment. Man, I'll let you tell your story. You tell me a little bit about what was life like before you met Jesus?
Well, I didn't really grow up like in the church, but it was like really dark and I felt really lonely. So it was like not good.
But. Yeah. It was a hard time, yeah. Tell me a little bit more about what was like your turning point? What was kind of the part where you really got to know that Jesus is your savior?
Well, youth conference like kind of introduced it, but I like would say like when I like really felt like Jesus's like presence was like when I was alone and I felt like I didn't have anybody and he was there for me.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on, give it up. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, Katrina, Jesus is someone that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you and will always be a part of your life. He loves you dearly, and you have given your life to him, and he is so pleased, and all of heaven is rejoicing. Hallelujah. Alrighty, and did I skip the... Oh, yeah, and how's life been like now? How has life been now since you know Jesus?
I'm just really happy and like to get to share like him with everybody and like with my family and my friends.
Awesome. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, well, let's get in here and face the cross. This will be good right here. Katrina, do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose for your sins that you can have a life in heaven? Hallelujah. It is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. We also have some other baptisms that took place yesterday that we would love to show you a quick video about.
Take a moment and just share your story. That's okay. You can share just what's Jesus done in your life.
So I thought I knew him in like middle school, and going through high school, I was so preoccupied with very many things that were not him, filling the void with things that were not filling it. And then this year, right before camp, I just had this pressing in service, and he was just kind of like, "What are you doing?" So, I went to camp, and since then it's been really great, and we've been closer than ever. So.
Yeah. So God just changed your life in that moment at camp. You made that decision. Hey, it's enough. Stop playing games, right?
Yeah.
And let's follow Jesus. Well, that's awesome. Okay, why don't you jump into right in the center there? You just want to cross your arms. Grab your nose, too.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be perfect. Okay, upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that is awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, so excited. All right. Melissa, Come on down.
Where?
Okay. All right.
There's still people here.
Just a couple. They love you.
I know.
We all love you, Melissa. I'm proud of you for making this decision. This is a big day.
Yeah.
This is a big day. So why don't you just share just a little bit, maybe something that God's put on your heart of just your story.
I guess growing up, I've always known Jesus is real. But I never learned to have a relationship with Jesus until this church. And even so, building the relationship, I still wasn't always right. You know, before Jesus here, I had terrible, terrible road rage and anxiety. You get this lost feeling, like you don't know where you really belong. Mm. And then, I don't know, I met my husband. Moved up here, we still did everything backwards, still not following Jesus' ways, you know, moved in, had a kid. But then we got married, and once you accept Jesus in your heart, it's all the anxiety and everything just lifts, like you have a calming peace. Even through the storms, you still go through storms, but you still have a peace about it. You don't, I don't know.
That's great.
And, I don't know.
So he's just really kind of changed everything for you.
Even my train of thought, like, I used to be quick to judge people and, like, but that's, no, not anymore. You
just
to take a step back. And
so his opinion, you have changed the opinions of others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for sharing so much. Why don't you take a step on in, give you a hand. It's a big step.
And I'm old.
Okay. Oh, you can sit down. Just right in the middle there. Cross your arms. Plug your nose. You got it. Well, Melissa, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, now baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
It's wonderful to be able to baptize those two yesterday. Our staff came to the church and we did it right here in the tank. It was a wonderful time to celebrate with them, and pleased to be able to show it with you guys as we celebrate together. So let's continue in that. I will welcome Erica forward and we'll do our next baptism here. Welcome, come on up. Erica, how are you today? Well, thank you for being here. We're excited to celebrate with you. Would you take a moment just to share a little bit of your story, perhaps what life was like before Jesus and how you met him, and then what's life like afterwards?
I grew up in a Catholic family. I used to go to church every Sunday. And I never understood my purpose of why should I follow God. I remember seeing my family arguing after church. It was mostly every Sunday after church. That made me question myself and lost hope. Several years had passed, and I completely stayed away from God. My life was miserable. I felt alone and lost for several years. But yesterday, I still had some faith in God until one day I experienced the holy presence of God. Though I stood away from God, and I knew that Jesus was real, but I never truly worshiped God. One day, my mom and my brother had asked me if I go to church. I said no. I was going through rough challenges in my life again, so I decided to find Jesus. Now, after accepting Jesus as my Savior, I feel peace and love from him.
That's amazing. Praise God. Well, if you would take a step here, I'll help you in there. ahead and scoot forward as far as you can. All right, well, Erica, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, praise God. And Ashley, your turn. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Before I accepted Jesus in my life, my mom would tell me stories about him. I didn't know much about God, just what she had told me. For many years, I knew who God was, but didn't have much of an understanding of what he did. My family and I never attended church to learn more about him, nor had an English Bible. I started praying more to God and expressed my feelings. The comfort I had before was something I never felt until I spoke to him for the first time. I was once at my lowest point of life. My parents were going through very hard times. That took a mental toll in my life. Starting from then on, I was praying to God that everything would be okay. Ever since then, having God in my life made me feel complete. I found the positives in the negatives. I still want to get to know him and attend church every Sunday. I now accept him as my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. He's changed my point of view in the world and found peace.
Wonderful. I'll help you up here. It's a big step. There you go. All right. If you'd scoot forward just a little bit farther. Ashley, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Awesome. Well, we have a few more baptisms as well. If we could throw up our next one, my order. Eric, if you would make your way to the stage. Let's all give him a hand. Eric, we're excited to celebrate with you today your decision to follow Jesus. If you would, just take a minute to share a bit of what God's done in your life.
All right. When I was a kid, I was bullied from kindergarten until about ninth grade, and no one could really do much about it. And somewhere in that progression, probably about 10 years old, I had developed thoughts of death on a daily basis. And every day, I had to think of a way to continue on, whether it was friends, family, dreams, or even a lot of time spent video games. And that was an escape for me a lot. This was something I had kept to myself till I was in my late 20s. After growing up through all this, and even after bullying, my mother had played a key role in this. She had steered me towards Jesus, even though she didn't know my mental state. And that being said, I didn't even put my whole heart into it. I was half-hearted. Lukewarm, if you will. Eventually, things got better, and I wound up getting married and even joining the tech team as a lighting technician at a large church. But I still had filled my heart with video game addiction. Eventually, a miracle happened, and my wife became pregnant. When my daughter was born from an emergency C-section, they had to haul her to a different hospital from which she was born. I followed her to that hospital and sat there day after day, listening to the doctors say this wasn't working or that wasn't working, until one day they said, we only have one more thing we can try. And then after that, we have nothing. and that's when my heart broke. I put all of me into those prayers to Jesus, but God healed my daughter, and she made a full recovery without a single life-changing problem. And I changed inside forever. And then after that, I was more content with everything I had in life. I had no more addiction to video games. And when I read God's word, it doesn't feel like a chore no more. And I find myself praying multiple times a day.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Well, go ahead, take a step in here. I can help you if you need. All right. All right. Well, Eric, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, praise God. Two more baptisms today. I'll invite TJ to the stage. And anyone that would like to come with him, welcome TJ. Great to have you here this morning. We're excited to celebrate. Your turn. Would you take a moment just to describe to us what God's done in your life?
Yeah, I guess I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I graduated from Presentation College, so I feel like I had a lot of knowledge of religion, but it wasn't until I got invited to AFA where I started to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I went through a lot of challenges over the last couple of years, and I feel like some of the guidance and peace that he's brought me has been very, very helpful. So.
Yes, thank you for sharing. That's awesome. Well, I'll help you in the tank here, and you're all good, no problem. All right. Go ahead and scoot forward. Well, TJ, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Isn't this great? We get to celebrate with one another. We have just one more, and that's Hannah Lopes. Would you make your way to the stage, please? Don't worry, the water's still warm for you. Thanks for being here today. Your turn. Would you take a moment? We'd love to hear what your life was like before Jesus, and then how you met him, and just describe to us what life has been like after that.
Okay, I have something written down. Okay, I grew up attending AFA, but at 17 I left and ended up in drug and alcohol addiction for 7 years. The people I used with and the bars I went to, led me to having extremely low self-esteem. I was hearing so many hurtful words said to me behind my back and on social media. I was lonely and felt unlovable. Then 2 years ago, I watched The Chosen, a TV series, showcasing the life of Jesus and his followers. And I read in Luke how Jesus came to Mary Magdalene and cured her of evil spirits. I finally then found the one who would save me and love me no matter what others thought. That was Jesus. I was searching for a guy to date and save me and defend me, but I found that the only one who could carry my burdens is Jesus. Since knowing him, he has healed me and changed me in so many ways. I was one way, and now I am completely the other. Psalms 42, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And take a step in the tank here and face the cross. All right, well, Hannah, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for celebrating with us. We are just so grateful for resurrection life. Our God is alive, amen? And because of him, we have eternal life and hope forever. Pastor Ben.
Thank you so much. Wow, what an exciting day, isn't it? Man, God is so good. Hearing all of these stories, I don't even think I need to preach this morning. You guys heard, you know, what Jesus did for us this Easter. Thank you so much, Pastor Sterling. But God is so good, and it's amazing to hear just the stories of what he's doing. And if he can do it in their lives, I believe he can do it in your life if he hasn't already. He's the God of the impossible. We're going to look at that in just a moment here. Today, just kind of as way of announcement, before or once we end service, if you drop kids off today, we've got a kids egg hunt following the service. It's going to be over in the gym, so make sure you pick up your kids, whether from the kid zone, which is you see the stairs over by the gym, or back in early childhood, and then bring them over to the gym or bring them into the youth rooms right next to it for our early childhood kids. Going to be an incredible time. Hope you guys enjoyed the breakfast and had a great time today. And man, we are just, it's a celebration. It is Easter Sunday. It's Baptism Sunday. And we're just grateful for what Jesus has done and what he wants to do in our lives. Let's take a moment and pray before we jump into the word today. Father, thank you so much for each of these stories, these 10 different stories that we heard this morning. God, I thank you for changed lives, that you've brought them from death to life. Thank you that you do the impossible. God, we pray that you would be with us today as you show us your word, and I pray you do the impossible over and over again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're talking about the impossible. I believe that we are a people who is fascinated by the impossible. We're fascinated. That's why we climb tall mountains and we try to send people to outer space and go to the moon. We try to do the impossible, right? Are we on like Mission Impossible 13 or 14 now? You know, we got to keep watching these movies. Think they're great. One of my favorite movies is National Treasure. Anybody seen National Treasure out there? Just fascinated by it, because here you've got a treasure map that one clue leads to the next, and eventually they came to a clue that told them that there was an invisible map on the back of the Declaration of Independence, right? And the problem, the Mission Impossible, how do we look at that? Nobody will do that. Nobody will show it to us, so we've got to steal the Declaration of Independence. And so they're looking at it, and they're trying to figure out, how do we do this? It's impossible. We'll never be able to do it. And then they discovered, wait, there's a preservation room. And if we can transfer that document, and there's a gallon, there's a, you know, all these things. What if? And somehow the impossible became possible. They found the map. They found the treasures. Great. You know, sorry if I ruined the movie for you, but it was a good one. You know, we love when the impossible becomes possible. Our kids, they always come to me. This is a daily occurrence. Dad, will you make up a game for us to play? I was like, sure, you know, that sounds fun. Let's do it. And so this was just this week, actually. We were sitting there, and I thought, one of my go-tos is, let's set up an impossible shot. You know, something that's just really hard, really difficult. So you kind of take a look around. We had a roll of tape, you know, just painter's tape. I said, all right, you guys stand over here on this side of the living room, and I want you to bowl that tape. I want you to roll it. And it's got to get past the TV stand. It's got to get past the table and all the chair legs. It's got to get between the table and then past the high chair that we've got for the little guy, and it's got to hit the wall. You know, you've got just a little gap to hit it. And I told him, this shot's impossible. You guys are never going to be able to make it. So they're all excited, like, we're going to do the impossible, Dad. You know, we've got this. And so they start out and they start rolling it, and it starts out and it just goes left. You know, it goes right. They're getting nowhere close. Then after about 5 minutes, all of a sudden they got past the TV stand and it got all the way over to the table and then hit the table and stopped, you know. And then each shot would get a little bit closer, a little bit closer. Finally, they were about 1 foot away from hitting it. You know, you could feel the anticipation. They were getting excited. Finally, our daughter, she threw it and it was the ugliest throw you've ever seen in your life. It was just terrible. Like, what happened? All those other practices. It hit the TV stand 2 feet into the deal. But somehow it ricocheted off the TV stand and got on the direct path for the wall, right? And so it's going, it goes past the table, it goes past the high chair. It gets literally 1 inch from the wall, and then it loses momentum and falls over. And they were just like, oh, we had it! We were so close! And they just tasted it, right? And then finally, a few throws later, finally one of them, it rolled all the way. It hit the wall, and I mean, the house just went nuts. They had seen the impossible happen, the impossible shot, right? We are a people who loves seeing the impossible happen. And in Matthew chapter 20 today, I want to show you an impossible mission. A mission impossible. Matthew 20, verse 17, Jesus says this. Now, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside, his 12 disciples, and he said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man," referring to himself, "will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Sounds like a pretty impossible mission, if you ask me, right? Probably after he told them, he said, you know, this note will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Yeah. Whatever it might be. But this was a mission impossible. Maybe he could be handed over, he could be crucified, all of these things. But the impossible part is that he would die, and 3 days later, he would be raised to life. You know, maybe today you are facing the impossible. We heard some stories of just impossible addictions or feelings that you had to overcome. So maybe you're facing the impossible today. Maybe it's a financial impossibility that you just don't understand. How am I going to get through that? Maybe it's emotions in your life that you just can't get rid of, that you can't seem to shake. Maybe it's a physical problem that you've got or a loved one's got that you just, how are we going to get through this? The doctors told us this was impossible. Maybe it's a relationship that you just thought those walls, they're walled off. There's no way we can come back from this. Our family can't be reunited. Our marriage can't be fixed. This relationship, parent to child, you know, this can't be fixed. Whatever it might be, what is the impossible that you are facing today? You see, I believe that if Jesus can do this impossible mission that he sent out to, right, that he set out to do, if he can do that in his life, then I believe that he can do the impossible in your life. I believe that. So flip with me just a couple more chapters over to Matthew chapter 27. At this point in the account, we see that the first part of Jesus's prediction has come true, of this mission impossible. It happened exactly the way he said. He would be arrested by the chief priests and Pharisees, and we see that happened. He was sentenced to death. The crowd cried out, "Crucify him." So that happened. He was mocked. He was flogged. And then eventually he was crucified, he was put on the cross. So all those different things had happened up until this point. And it's hours after his crucifixion where we pick up in verse 57 of chapter 27 that I want you to see how impossible the rest of this mission was, to be raised to life again after 3 days. So Matthew 27, starting with verse 57, says this: "As evening approached, there came a man, a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away." Now, normally those who were crucified, they were criminals. We know Jesus wasn't a criminal, but he was treated as one. And because they were criminals, there was no honor in their burial, right? They didn't have a service. In fact, they would take those bodies and just throw them into a pit. So Jesus, had Joseph not come, would have just been thrown into a pit with the other two. But yet, Joseph came, one of a disciple. He considered himself a disciple of Jesus, and he came to Pilate, the one who gave the crowd the option. What do you want me to do with him? And they cried out, crucify. So he gave the sentence. And he asked Pilate, can I have the body? Could I bury the body? And so that's where we start off. So let me show you how impossible this mission was. The first thing that Jesus would have to do, right, to complete his mission objective number one, he'd have to escape his grave clothes. He'd have to escape his grave clothes. That's the first thing that Joseph went and did. It said that he went and buried the body. He wrapped it in linen cloths. In fact, in John's gospel, it gives us a little bit more detail. It said that Nicodemus, we see in John chapter 3, he's there. Nicodemus comes back and he brings 75 pounds of spices and aloes, different things to bury the body, to kind of partially mummify it in a sense. And so they would, you know, spread these spices on Jesus's bloodied body and then wrap them in some cloth, spread some more spices, wrap them in a cloth. From head to toe, all these different things. And the spices and the aloes, they were there to counteract the smell of decaying flesh. So the first thing Jesus would have to do is escape his grave clothes. The second thing that Jesus would have to do, if he wanted to fulfill this impossible mission, was he would have to escape the tomb. See, this was a brand new tomb. This wasn't a cave that they placed Jesus' body in. There was no back exits or side little alleys. There was nothing like this. This was a brand new. Joseph was a wealthy man, so back in that day, they would have carved a tomb out of rock. No escape, right, except the front entrance. The front entrance would have been a small little door. In there may have been a couple chambers, but it was a new tomb, so there was no other dead bodies, only Jesus's in there. And then what you would do, he would have a rock that would have been carved out of stone, a round rock, something heavy, and they had the rock, and he would roll the stone to cover the tomb. The stone would have been on a groove that would have allowed it to go right in front of the door. Once it got in front of the door, there would have been a channel that would have stopped the rock. So it was easy for one or maybe two people just to push the rock in place. But to move the rock would have taken several able-bodied people to push that rock back up the hill, back up the groove, and put it on there to release that. So you can imagine that it'd be pretty hard for Jesus, as one person, from the inside, not even being on the outside, to roll the stone away. So his mission's seeming pretty difficult. They did this so that nobody would disturb the remains. So for Jesus, he had a pretty impossible mission. All right, he's already been partially mummified. He's been placed in a carved out tomb with no exit other than this giant stone that you'd need a lot of people putting their back into it to get it out of the way. But the mission gets even more impossible as we keep reading here. Verse 62 says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Those are the people who arrested Jesus. It says, sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, they're talking about Jesus, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. They were aware of the secret mission that Jesus had. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. So here you have the chief priests and the Pharisees, they come. I mean, these were the people who arrested Jesus. And they said, hey, we remember he made some wacky, wild claim that he was going to rise again in 3 days. Well, we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. You know, so Pilate posts the guard, seal this, do all these different things. So they increase the security. So we've got some more steps that Jesus will have to do. Number three, he's going to have to break the seal. It says the tomb was sealed. So the third thing he'd have to do is break the seal. Now, this didn't mean that they just siliconed the whole tomb. That's not what it meant here. But this seal was the seal of Rome. They would have taken a rope and affixed it with wax on either side of the stone. So that way, if anybody rolled the stone away, the seal would be broken. So this seal was placed on there with the guards there to see it, because now the guards' lives depended on that seal staying intact, right? This tomb, while it wasn't, you know, shut, it was sealed with the authority of Rome. With the authority of Rome. So if his disciples tried to come and break away, that means that they would be facing the death sentence, and so would the guards. So it was sealed with the weight of Rome. The fourth thing that Jesus would have to do, now he has to get past the guards. Right? He's got to get past the guards. A typical guard would have consisted of four soldiers, two to keep watch, two to rest. You can flip-flop, so that way there's always somebody on, always somebody watching this tomb, protecting it, making sure that nobody comes from the outside to break in, and no one comes from the inside and tries to break out. You know, they were there. They were ready. They were vigilant. And again, their lives were at stake. So you know that they were going to be a vigilant crew. So here we are. Jesus needs to escape the grave clothes, right? Jesus needs to break out of this tomb. He's got to break through the seal with all the weight of Rome, and he's got to get past the guards. And oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, he's dead, right? Jesus would have to defeat death, the hardest part of them all. You know, death is undefeated by human power and by human nature. Death has always won. There's been no fountain of youth, no health regimen, no scientific breakthrough that has stopped death from happening. Maybe delayed it, but it's never stopped it from happening. See, this was a mission impossible. Some have theorized that Jesus didn't actually die, you know, that he just was severely injured or swooned, and then, you know, he was just in the tomb recovering. But if we look at this text, the chief priests and the Pharisees, those who had arrested him, those who had encouraged that, riled up the crowd to say, crucify him, it said that they were there mocking Jesus at the cross. They saw with their own eyes what happened to Jesus, and they assumed he was dead. They believed it. And if they didn't believe it, they would have gone and finished the job themselves. They would have made that happen. They were excited for Jesus' death. The Roman soldiers, they were experts at killing. They knew what they were doing. They wouldn't have put a half-dead guy in the tomb. See, Jesus wasn't just recovering from a rough day. Jesus was dead. He was dead. There was a letter to the editor of a Christian magazine a while ago. The editor's name was Eutychus. And the letter read, "Dear Eutychus, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? Sincerely, Bewildered. The editor replied, "Dear Bewildered." I like this response. It's an interesting one. "Beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails with 39 heavy strokes. Nail him to a cross. Hang him in the sun for 6 hours. Run a spear through his heart. Embalm him. Put him in an airless tomb for 36 hours and see what happens." Sincerely, Eutychus. That gives you a little bit of a different perspective, doesn't it? The point being, Jesus died. Jesus was dead. This was a mission impossible. There is no way of getting out. First, he has to overcome death, and then he has to break out of a place that you just can't break out of, right? He's got to escape the grave clothes. He's got to move the stone away. Nobody can get in because the stone is sealed. There's guards present. By all human standards, this was an impossible mission. So again, let me ask you today, what impossible are you facing today? What's the impossible mission that's in front of you? Maybe it's financial. Maybe there's a debt that you just can't pay. You see that bill and you're just thinking, how in the world are we going to do this? You know, maybe I'm going to lose the home. I'm going to lose the car. I'm going to lose whatever it might be. You may be facing a financial impossibility. Maybe today you're facing just emotional pain. You've been abused. Somebody's hurt you deeply in this life, and there's not a day that goes by that you don't remember it. You can't forget it. You're suffering from it day after day after day. It's stolen sleep from you. It's anxiety's gone through the roof, and you just think, there's no way I can overcome this. There's no way I can get past this, and it just feels impossible to you. Maybe the diagnosis that the doctor has given you or a loved one, they said, this is impossible. It's incurable. You can't come back. You have to live with it. And you're just facing an impossible ability today, and you're just thinking, I can't do it. I can't overcome. Maybe it's that relationship that you have, that marriage that you just seem is on the fritz, and you see where it's going and you think there's no way back. There's no way to build a relationship. Maybe you've ostracized yourself from the family, or somebody else has ostracized themselves from you, and it's just, how do we do this? We can't come back. And you're facing the impossible situation today. Maybe it's suicidal thoughts that you're facing, and you think there's no way out. There's no way out. You feel all alone. You feel all alone. Well, again, let me remind you that if Jesus can do the impossible, then I believe that he can do the impossible in your life. Worship team, would you come? I want to give you one more impossible situation that each one of us is facing in this room today. Each one of us. The impossible situation is this. The thing that's impossible in your life that you cannot do, that all of us want to do, is get into heaven. Did you know that? It's impossible for you to get into heaven. Isn't that exciting news? It's impossible for you to get into heaven on your own. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible to break into heaven. It's impossible to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation, it tells us, talks about heaven. Revelation 21, verse 27 tells us that nothing impure will ever enter it. Referring to heaven. Nothing impure will ever enter heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It says that nothing impure will ever enter heaven. We are an impure people. We are. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure." This is a tough verse. "For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So the Bible tells us it's impossible to get into heaven. Right? It's impossible for you to get into heaven, to find a way, because we are an impure people. You see the list here, it says we're impure if we have even a hint of sexual immorality at any point in our life. We're impure if we've ever been greedy. We're impure simply by the words that we speak. You see the list there, right? How are your words today? Are they building others up, or have they torn people down? See, all these things are what the Bible calls sin. Disobeying our Creator. Not doing what He desires for us. If we have sin in our lives, then we're sinners. We are impure. We have all sinned, thus making it impossible to get into heaven. You can try to get in. You can try to do enough good things, right? You can try to wash away the impurity, but it's not going away. We can't pay off our debt. We can't do anything like that. We are powerless to make ourselves pure. Getting rid of sin is as impossible as escaping death and getting out of a sealed tomb. So that means that when you die, if you can't go to heaven, there's only one other option. The Bible calls it hell. Hell is a scary place. It refers to it as the lake of fire, a place of darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of torment, eternal torment, a place of God's wrath. But again, I have good news for you today. If Jesus can do the impossible of rising from the dead, then I believe he can do the impossible in your life. He can forgive you of sin and overcome the darkness in our life and bring us through the impossible. See, listen to the rest of the story in Matthew chapter 28. It says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, on a Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. It says there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men." Can you picture that in your mind? verse 5. It says, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Jesus escaped the grave clothes. He escaped the tomb, broke the seal, got past the guards, and he defeated death. Jesus did the impossible. He did the impossible. You see, the God we serve, he's not the God of the improbable. He's not the God of the highly unlikely. He is the God of the impossible. And because he did the impossible on that Easter morning, the very first Easter, I know he can do the impossible in your life. I know it. I know he can do the impossible. I know that he can bring you from death to life. I know that he can restore relationships. I've seen it. I know he can heal the sick. We've seen him raise the dead. Our God is the God of the impossible. While we can't do it on our own by any human power, through the supernatural power of God, he can do the impossible. He can do the impossible. In fact, John 14:6 tells us, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one goes to heaven except through Jesus. He is the only way to make that impossibility a possibility in our lives. He's the only way to go from impure to pure. He's the only way to change us from death to life, as we witnessed here today, as we heard story after story of just impossible things that people overcame, not because they were anyone special, but because they served the God of the impossible. And that's what made all the difference. When we believe that he rose from the dead, when we confess our sins, when we declare him as our Savior and Lord, the Bible says that we are saved. That we're saved. We're saved from that eternal punishment in hell. And we get to go to the Father in heaven. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He makes us pure. So again today, if Jesus can do the impossible by rising from the dead, then I believe he can do the impossible in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God can do the impossible? Today, I want to give two opportunities for you to respond. And so would you just, for a moment, if everyone in this building, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? And I want to give you two different opportunities. And the first one's this. The first one's this. Today, if you're just facing the impossible today, maybe it's a financial need, a relational need, an emotional need, whatever it might be, you're just facing the impossible in your day-to-day life, and you need the God of the impossible to do something about it, would you just raise your hand real quick? I want to pray with you. I want to believe that God can do more. Yeah. A lot of you facing a lot of impossible situations. You can put it down. But if that's you today, I want to pray with you quick. Lord Jesus, you're the God of the impossible. There's no one like you. You rose from the dead. You defeated death in the grave. And your word says that you are sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. God, that you reign in glory. And so we look to you and we say, Jesus, would you do the impossible again? God, would you meet every need in this place? God, you know. You're speaking to hearts right now. And God, I pray that you would meet financial need. God, I pray that you would heal in the name of Jesus, that you would move in your power. Your word says that by your stripes on that cross, that we are healed. So Lord, we declare healing this morning. We declare breakthrough this morning. God, would you do the impossible? Would you do the impossible? Meet every need, Lord. The second opportunity today. And this is so important. Today, if you're facing the impossible, you recognize you've got sin in your life and you don't want to go to hell, but you want to go to heaven. You want to spend eternity with Jesus today. You want to make him your Lord and Savior. Today, I want to give you the opportunity to see the impossible happen. God's word says it will, without fail, every single time. As we confess our sins, as we declare him as Lord, as we believe that he died and rose again, we will be saved. So today, it's the most important decision you can make in your life. Today, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, who's never started a relationship with Jesus, but you'd like to start today, would you just slip your hand up? Catch my eye. I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you today. Anybody here that you would say that? Anybody in the main level? We want to take our time. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody in the balcony? You say, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. Thank you. Today, if you raised your hand, this is, again, the most important decision you can make. It's the reason why Jesus died and rose again, so he could forgive us. So today, if you rose your hand and you want to make this decision, then I just want you to pray this prayer from the heart. Not special or magical words or anything like that, but it's simply asking Jesus to do the impossible in our lives. And when we mean that from the heart, he'll do it every time. So would you just pray this prayer with me? Would you just pray this prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for being the God of the impossible. I believe that you died and that you rose again. I pray that you would forgive me. Make me pure. Make me new. Would you be my Savior? Would you be my Lord? I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer today, you meant it from the heart. I don't just believe, I know that there are angels rejoicing in heaven today. The Bible tells us that your life will be forever changed. If you made that decision, come catch me after service. We've got resources we want to give you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. God is doing an incredible thing. Would you stand with me? We just want to celebrate the decisions that were made here today. We want to celebrate what our Savior is doing. And worship team, would you lead us?
Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. You call my name.
is a day of celebration. Today is a day of victory as we celebrate our risen Savior. Thank you guys so much for being here. Again, if you're new and you haven't filled out a Connect card, I encourage you to do that. We got a special gift to send home with you. If you came because you got a free car wash or a friend, write that down on there. We just want to celebrate with you. Our welcome desk is right beyond those doors. If you have kids with you, be sure to pick them up and then meet us over in the gym. Yeah, don't leave them. Be sure to pick them up and then bring them over to the gym. And we've got an awesome Easter egg hunt. It's going to be great. Even if you just want to be a spectator, we'll see you over in the gym. Have a blessed Easter, everyone.